Did I set up my thing properly? I think I did.
Sounds like you did.
All right. Hey, what's going on? This is episode 39.
You've got a real attitude problem, McFly. You're a slacker.
Well,
I don't know what to say to that.
All right. Hey, man. This is Eagle and Vice. This is episode 39. This is the second last episode of 2018 summer. No, I'm not. No, I'll be back before you know it, but I'm doing one more episode after this, and it'll be episode 40. Then I'm taking a couple months off just to recharge the batteries.
Yeah, much like Game of Thrones, the before last episode is always the best one, because I'm here.
Yeah, that's right. In the studio, in Southwood Studio, I have my left-hand man, Mr. Pauly J. Fox.
That's me.
Who always frequents the podcast, and I'm happy to have you back.
Happy to be back.
And I figured, you know, I decided to go up to episode 40 just for now, and I said, the only person I'm going to have back on is Pauly.
Aw.
And I'll do the last episode by myself. It'd be a quick, like, 20-minute, half-an-hour episode. But let's just dig into this one and see what the fuck, see how that happens.
Yeah, let's do it.
It's been a long run. It's been a long run since last September.
I think it's been about that long. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so it's almost been a year. And wow. I've done a lot of episodes. I've done 40 regular episodes. Well, 39. I will have done 40 regular episodes. I did 5 spotlight episodes. And that's it. So 45. That's enough. That's enough for a little while.
Yeah. Pretty good.
So how are you? What's going on?
Oh, I'm doing all right. Doing all right. I'm on vacation. Always good when you're, taking time off work. And my son's up visiting, spending a lot of time playing board games and, you know, just hanging out and doing the dad thing, which is fun. But it's been great except for this heat.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Well, we'll get to that.
Yeah,
I'm happy that because I know you always look forward to your summers with the kid.
Oh, it's
with the boy.
I live for it. Live for it.
You know how many dogs I gotta catch to fill that big ass bolios, boy.
Anyway. It's my favorite time of year. Favorite time of year. You know, he lives so far away that I don't get to see him all the time, and when I do, it's I cherish that time with him.
Yeah, for sure. How long is he up for? 2 months.
2 months. It's going to be, another 4 weeks as of this recording, so.
Cool, man.
Yeah, it's good times.
Well, I'm happy for you, and you always seem in better spirits during the summertime.
Yeah.
Probably because of that, so.
Well, my soul dies a little when he's so far away, so.
Yeah, I can't relate, but I understand, you know. I'm at work, and I can't see my cat, and I'm just like, oh, I'm a cat, but. That's cool. So, how's your wrist? You've had some wrist issues.
Oh my god! Yeah, I have. It's getting, it's getting better. I've had to put down the instrument there for a while. Also my bass, and it's been healing up pretty good. It got swollen after the after the show the last time, and just practicing even at home with the brace on. It's just it's terrible. It's pretty painful. I've got some kind of, the doctor was excited about actually having a name for it. When I went to see my family doctor, she says, can you do this? Can you do that? I said, ow. And she said, oh, I know. There's a name for what you have. I know what it is.
Basa bifida?
Yeah. Basa bifida. No, it's like MacGyver's tendonitis or some bullshit like that. I forget what she said, but it's some kind of name that she was excited about knowing, but, yeah, it's pretty painful. I can't do anything fun with my wrist.
They say that you need two hands to play a guitar and or bass. Pauly J has been playing his bass with one hand for the last few months anyway.
Yeah, a couple months now, yeah.
You have a nice brace. Kind of looks bracy and supportive, yeah. But it's hinders your playing a little bit. You said.
Well, I can't move my wrist. I can't, and it's my picking hand, you know. So I either have to do the fingers, which, you know, I could do, but I prefer the kind of the attack of the pick, you know. Yeah, exactly. Like I don't, you know, it makes for great radio to be doing that, but you know, I can do it with the fingers, but you know, I prefer the pick. I like the sound of the pick. I like playing with a pick. So
yeah,
when you're doing that and you can't move your wrist, it's a struggle.
You know, if you can play like with your fingers, I also prefer the sound of the pick. It has a little bit more attack. I find that the fingers are a little warmer, a little softer,
and you can like you can get some nice sounds with it, and you can definitely do some things with the fingers that are harder to do, you know, technically speaking, with the pick. But it's just that sound of the pick. I love it. That little twang that you get,
little chuckalucka, little clackalacka, if you will.
Love it.
That's cool. Well, you've been doing all right. We played at least a couple of shows with your bum wrist.
Yeah.
And then we went up to the studio last weekend.
Yeah, what a fun time that was. It was great.
Yeah,
it was great.
We went back up to Skylark Park in Pembroke, and we recorded with our good friend Jordan Zadorozny. And we got five songs done in true fucking workhorse goat fashion.
In and out in a day.
And then we got them back with the first mix. Sonically, they sound fantastic. The guitars sound good. The bass sounds good. The drums sound good. Performance wise, might need to put some more work into that somehow.
Gotta refine it a little, I think. Yeah. There's definitely better takes of some things. And
Goat has a formula when it comes to like writing songs. We write songs, well, we take quite a while to write songs, and then we'll jam them out in the basement. And then when it comes to recording, we'll book some time, and that kind of lights a fire under our butt. But we're always busy, especially in the wintertime, because that's when you play more shows in Canada, because in the summertime, everyone goes to the cottage and doesn't want to be in a bar.
Yeah, everybody's on vacation, yeah.
So wintertime, we play a lot of shows, so we always try and kind of work into writing and stuff like that. But when we write, it's just like, hey, we should work on these new songs, but we have two shows coming up. So you have to get ready for the, you know, you make the set, and you kind of got to jam that stuff out. So I think after the last show, we said, okay, let's just concentrate solely on these new songs. Got them done, did some pre-production, and headed up to the studio. And I'm proud of the songs.
No, they're great.
I'm proud of the songs that are written, the way they were performed. Was, you know, respectable.
Yeah.
But the beauty of today's modern technology and digital recording and stuff, we're hoping that we can put those back into the oven and cook them for another 35 to 40 minutes on 350 degrees. And they'll come out just a little bit more done. A little crispier, a little more brownie. You know?
A little bit more refinement on them.
Yeah. So,
because if there's anything that we are, it's refined, right?
Yeah, super refined.
Yeah.
And like I said, we have a formula because we've been going up to the same studio for 7 years. And our producer knows what we want. He knows what we sound like. We know what we want to do. And we go up there and we get it done quick. Just like, let's get up there, get it in there, get it out of there. Give me a product.
And that's a big part of the in and out is that, he knows how to work with us, I think. Yeah. And it's great.
And that process has never failed us.
No.
Like you listen to X, and I'm so proud of X, our last release from last year.
That sounds great.
I think we put two mixes on that shit and it was just like in the can.
That's it. Done.
Yeah, but this time I think we might have stabbed ourselves in the fucking dick with these ones. Just because we dialed her back a little, I guess. You probably won't really notice. I don't know. But they're more of like, for Goat, I think they're more of a mid to fast tempo. As opposed to like...
Yeah, it's definitely not as fast tempo. And you know, when you do that kind of thing, that's what happens, right? Is that, you know, when you slow things down a little, and it's not like it's all, okay, dun, 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 we're not doing, you know, super slow.
Yeah.
You know, anthems or like, you know, melodic slow songs or anything, but when you slow anything down, it makes any slight imperfection that much more magnified.
Right. Say you're like a kind of a sloppy guitar player, but you kick on your distortion pedal and you get that big, so it hides a lot of those little weird things.
Yeah.
You take that same guitar player and you put him like, okay, you're just playing clean now. You hear all those little squawks and weirdnesses and stuff like that. And I think that's the same with Goat, just with like really, really fast shit to kind of like slower down shit with more simple things. It's like sometimes less is more,
yeah,
maybe.
Yeah, you play a bajillion miles an hour and you fuck up, and by the time anybody realizes it, you're on to the next chorus anyway.
But don't fret, fair Goat fan and listener.
Fret.
Don't fret. The new Goat record will be out probably by the end of summer, and it'll sound awesome.
Fuck yeah.
I hope.
Yeah.
I think it will, though.
Oh, yeah. No. Definitely.
Yeah. So what else is up, man? Like, shit, man.
Canada Day.
Oh,
just happened.
What'd you do?
I went down to the river, down in Cornwall, watched some fireworks. It was horribly, horribly hot. It was terrible. Last few days have been like that. It was, there's been no relief.
Sweltery.
Yeah.
Humid.
Well,
fuck you, Donald Trump.
Yeah, I know. We ended up going into my parents' pool the other day, and it was 86 degrees, and we may as well not have gone in, because
it's like a hot tub.
Yeah, exactly. It was a bath. We went in and had a bath in the pool.
It was very relaxed.
Come out and it's all humid and you're wet anyway. Usually you get out of a pool and you're refreshed because it's nice and, you know, a little bit of a breeze and you feel good. But when it's a muggy, humid breeze, you may as well not have gone in at all. You could stand out there and just sweat. It's like a sauna, or you go in there and you're in a bath anyways. It's the same thing.
Yeah, that's gross.
Oh, it was terrible.
I didn't do much this Canada Day. I had a busy weekend. I played a couple of shows with the Riptides on Friday and on Saturday in Montreal and Ottawa. And if you know me, I enjoy people, but then I hit kind of a wall where it's just like, you know what? I think I just want to not be around anybody for a while. So yesterday I woke up and was supposed to work, but found out I didn't have to work, and went back to bed. And when I woke up, I was like, you know what? I ain't doing nothing today. I know it's Canada Day. I will celebrate the fine birthday of Canada, but I am not. I'm not gonna go. I'm not gonna go anywhere. So
yeah,
I kind of spent the day by myself. Talked to some friends. Had a couple of sort of dates lined up, but I just canceled them all. I was just like, nah, nah.
No, those are good days sometimes, though.
Yeah.
Those days when you just say, you know what, fuck it. I'm just doing what I want all day.
That's it. That's it.
I love those.
I spent most of the day just talking to a friend on just texting back and forth, and it was great. That's all I needed. You know what I mean? Had a good conversation with her, and that was it, man. I went to bed last night, and I got up, and I went to work today.
Good times. Good times.
Yeah. Super fun. Look at us.
I know.
Fucking rock star extraordinaire.
Oh, yeah. Living the life.
We are absolutely as boring as the rest of you. Oh!
Ooh. Oh! Who said that? Somebody said that.
Ah, fuck it. Let's play a song. Let's get this thing going, then we'll start over again. This is a song from a band called The Band. On the other side, me and Pauly J will be back. This is Ego and Vice.
I feel so sick inside, and I really don't know why. Well, I've taken all the pills that the internet prescribed. My body's got a fever, my skin is turning gray. The world has been around, wants you to go away. Self-diagnosis, what the fuck is wrong with me?
What's wrong with me?
What's my prognosis? Messed up mentality.
What's wrong with me?
I thought the shit fell over and my brain has turned to goo. Well, I'm really freaking out, cause every week it's something new. Leprosy and hypertension. I'm slowly going blind, give me some medical attention. My body just can't take it, gonna fall down to the floor. I swear I'm not neurotic, death is knocking at my door. Self-diagnosis, what the fuck is wrong with me?
What's wrong with me?
What's my prognosis? Messed up mentality.
What's wrong with me?
I thought the shit fell over and my brain has turned to goo. I'm really freaking out, cause every week it's something new.
diagnosis. What the fuck is wrong with me? What's my prognosis? Messed up mentality. I've got this shaped all over and my brain is turned to goo. I'm really freaking out. What's wrong with me?
So, this September will be GOAT's 7-year anniversary. What do you want to do for that? We should do something for that.
Oh, it's got to involve alcohol.
Well, of course, yeah, of course it will, provided I'm still alive by then because of the alcohol.
Yeah, provided we haven't drank ourselves to death by then. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, for sure. We should, I don't know. I think a show is in order.
Well, we do have one show lined up. We have nothing lined up for the rest of the summer or into early fall. But I did secure a show at House of Targ with Voice of Addiction from Chicago.
Yeah.
And a local band called Positive Charge, which is, we should play some Positive Charge on this too.
We should.
We'll do that next. But
yeah.
A local band called Positive Charge, who are a great, great punk band from Ottawa. And Ian, who has been on the show before, he was on one of the Spotlight series from Chicago from the band Voice of Addiction. We've gone over this story 1,000 times, so I'm not going to do it again. But anyway, I've kept in contact with him since the first time they played, when we played with them at the Avant-Garde,
yeah.
And, yeah, man, he's a good dude, and he's on tour right now with his band.
Yeah, they were fun.
Yeah, they're going across the States, and they're finally swinging back through Canada, fall of 2018, so a few months from now. And he called me up, and he's like, yeah, okay, we got a gig in Ottawa. You guys want to play? I'm like, fuck yeah, let's do it. He's like, it's at House of Targ. I said, fuck yeah.
Perfect.
That's even better.
Yeah.
And he's like, can you try and secure a local band? And I said, yeah, I know a couple of them. So, yeah, we did that. I did that, and I reached out to a couple of bands. Some of them couldn't make it, and it's kind of far ahead in advance, but got a hold of Positive Charge, and they're like, yeah, we're on board. Sounds good. It's going to be a good time. So I'm really looking forward to Ian coming back, and I already told him you can sleep on my couch again if you want to.
Yeah, it's going to be good times, as always with those guys.
Yeah, and I don't know. I guess we'll just pick it all up in October. We could really hold off and release the new one and use that show as kind of our release thing if you want.
Yeah, maybe. I don't think that's a bad idea.
Yeah, because I don't really... Unless something really drops in our lap, I'm not going to accept much, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm not in a big rush right now.
Yeah, there's, you know, if it's just some random Friday night at certain places, I'm just going to turn it down.
Yeah. No, that's going to be a good show, though, October.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Voice of Addiction. Yeah, pretty good times. I think other than that, just more working on some more new ones, working on some...
Part two of,
yeah.
Part one, maybe
part two of the unnamed.
Yeah, maybe part two will just become part one because we'll scrap this fucking debacle.
Scrap the rest of it.
Done. What do you have planned for the rest of the summer?
No, it's gonna be going back to work once the vacation's done. I don't think there's really all that much except for maybe buying a house, which is holy shit paperwork.
Oh yeah, you were saying
about
that, eh? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I just got, I don't know if you saw it, but I'll show you. I got a new car out there, too.
What?
I know, right? That old piece of junk is...
What'd you get?
I got a 2005 Hyundai, sorry, 15 Hyundai Sonata.
2005?
Which is like the most boring, yeah, 2005.
Sweet.
I took a step back. But yeah, no, 2015 is pretty nice.
Does this one have AC?
Oh yeah, it does.
You don't have the back sweat?
Yeah, no, exactly. I don't have to show up with the seatbelt line.
The seatbelt stain?
Yeah.
Well, that's good, man.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Yeah, some changes coming. I mean, that's one of the reasons that taking some time off in the summer is going to be good because, mm-hmm. you know, got to get all that moving done and, you know, take care of all that kind of bullshit paperwork.
Yeah, that's hectic though, man. Yeah. Moving, and especially if you like buy a house and stuff, because then it's like you have to deal with not just the moving your shit. You got to get all your finances in order and
yeah.
Figure out if you can afford this bastard.
That's the rough one too. Yeah.
Are you staying in Cornwall?
Yeah, I think I'm. Well, if not in Cornwall, you know, not too far away. I might move next door to Mike in Moose Creek.
Moose Creek.
Yeah.
I heard that is a budding megalopolis. It's up and coming.
Yeah, I know.
The crick. Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
That's good.
Yeah. No. It's yeah. That's about it for me. Honestly, I'm not not having too many more plans except for just hanging out and being a bad influence on my kid.
That's good.
Yeah.
Well, that's something.
How about you? Any big plans yourself?
I am going to go go into this kind of in depth over on episode 40 later this week, but I'm going to take the next couple of months off and just kind of go dark for a bit. I'm going to drop off social media for a bit. I'm not going to cancel my Facebook account or, you know, my Instagram and stuff, because I like to see what my friends are doing. And I use it as promotion too, especially for like the bands and the podcast. But since I'm not going to be really doing the podcast too much and not going to be doing too much band stuff till the fall, I think the best thing for me to do is just like delete my Facebook and my Instagram like off my phone. Like that's just deleting the app. So like I still have the accounts.
Yeah,
and
the
stuff
accounts
like
are still there, but you're not tempted to open it up all the
time. Yeah, there's just something kind of like really peaceful about rolling over when you wake up in the morning and not reaching for your phone to look at like who ate what and some fucking stupid ad on Facebook, which even though you don't even care anymore, that yet you still could just kind of like mindlessly look at it. And it's just like, I don't want to do that. I'm going to take this summer and just really go quiet and just enjoy my friends, enjoy my, you know, the weather and just the freedom. And I'll still go to work and stuff like that. But just like, no, man, if I want to talk to somebody, I'll have to actually like reach out to them and you know what I mean?
Yeah, there's a nice kind of serenity to that when you don't feel so attached to, you know, having to open up your phone when you delete that kind of thing. It's one of the reasons I never end up getting into like Facebook Messenger or even like Instagram or anything like that. I don't even have an account with any of that, or Twitter or anything. Like I've had Facebook for forever and I barely touch it anymore, and it's nice, but you know, you still use it every once in a while, but it's there's a certain blissful peace that comes to not having, you know, all that kind of stuff.
I don't know, because I'm gonna find out. Mike, the drummer in Goat, has never had a cell phone in his life.
Yeah.
And he just lives, and we give him shit for it because it is a pain in the ass because you can't get a hold of him unless call his like landline at home.
Oh, when you get there to a show and you're like, is he dead in a ditch or is he on the way or did he just leave late? And nice to know.
And he's always late, so you can't be like, where the fuck are you? Yeah, but me and Polly, like when it comes to like the band stuff or just even like friendship stuff, we'll always like shoot the shit back and forth like via text and stuff like that. But with Mike, he's just like, you can't get a hold of him. But he just shows up and he's in this kind of blissful ignorance. You know what I mean? He's like, hey,
how's it going?
Yeah, it's just like so simple. And it's just like, you fucking like,
I envy it sometimes.
You give him shit, but that's what I'm doing.
Well, that's it.
I'm going straight Mike Mayer.
There you go. There you
for
go.
The rest of the summer. You need to get a hold of me, you can call me at the Bell payphone on the corner of Carling and that'd be awesome though. But really, like, it's just like when it comes to like social media and stuff like that, like when you talk to people, you text them, right? You text them or you give them a call and you say whatever. Like, what is Facebook for other than just promoting the bands and stuff like that? But say you didn't have bands, say you were just like an average Joe Schmo, right? Hey, I'm Joe Schmo. I have nothing going except for just the fucking life that I live. Like,
it's all masturbation is what it is. It's all just people getting off to posting shit themselves and thinking that everyone else is looking at it and saying, oh, what a wonderful life this person has.
I know. Or, it's like making your life bigger than it is.
It's people taking themselves too seriously is what it is.
Yeah. And it's just so stupid. I think about what I use Facebook for on just like an actual like personal level. And it's just like, it's just there. And you get so addicted to it, even though it's like, you hate it. Like you almost hate yourself. You almost feel dirty when you're like, nee, 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 nee. And then you put the phone down, you fuck Facebook, and then it's like 2 minutes later you subconsciously just pick your phone up. It's like, what the fuck am I doing here?
Well, so, it's all these you know, it at first was a novelty when you say, oh look, I can reconnect with all my, you know, schoolyard friends from back in elementary school or your high school or whatever, and you say, oh okay, well we'll be friends, and then you're not actually friends, you're just it's like pretending to be friends. No, you know, no offense to anybody that's on my Facebook, but I probably don't give that much of a shit about you. And it's not that I don't actually care about you. It's that, yeah, okay, we're friends on Facebook. And yeah, you know, if something big goes on, sure, I'll hear about it. But it's, you know, it's not an interaction on a personal level like no. you get from meeting somebody at a bar that you, you know, that you've known for forever.
It's like you're so concerned about knowing what, I don't know, Dave is doing, that a guy you went to high school with 20 years ago, and you're like, ooh, I can't lose Dave. I could block Dave, but no, you never know. I'd like yeah. to keep in touch with Dave. This is the same person. If you were walking through St. Laurent Shopping Center and you saw him, you'd be like, "Dope!" And you'd like duck into a store just try to avoid the actual interaction.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's it. Well, it's those, you know, when you have like some kind of tragedy and people, you know, change their Facebook picture to like, to say, oh, you know, we're sending our thoughts and prayers, but it doesn't actually do anything to help those people.
No.
It's like this fake involvement in that, or this fake caring for that tragedy that happens. Facebook to me is like a fake version of a friendship, that it's like you're trying to pretend like you care, but like you say, you pass by somebody in the Walmart,
you dodge them at all costs, you go around the other aisle.
You
put the hat down, you hide behind that lady, you walk at her pace until they're gone, you look over your shoulder. Whew, that was a close call.
Yeah, that's it. Anybody I care about is going to be coming and meeting me at the bar when we're going up on stage doing a show.
That's the fucking truest thing I've ever heard in my life. Like, just that. And I've heard that before, but it's just like anybody I care about, I'm in contact with.
Yeah.
Like, I don't wish any harm on anybody I've ever known and stuff like that.
Yeah,
but everybody that makes an impact or matters in my life, I see them and make a point to see them.
Yeah. That's
so
it.
Why do I have like 400 friends on Facebook when in real life I have 7 friends?
That's it. Like, that's why I kind of have gotten away from it myself. Like, I use it to let people know, you know, hey, we're doing a show. We're going to be over here. Come on out if you want. And, you know, when other people do that with, you know, with me, and I see they're promoting something that they're going to do, yeah, I'll go buy a ticket to your show, or I'll go and do, yeah, you know, do something and go and interact with you if you're inviting me to interact with you. But the actual Facebook friendship itself.
Say you went on your Facebook and you deleted every single person except for the people that you actually, like I said, those 7 people.
Yeah.
Imagine like I went on Facebook and it was like, Mike, friends, 7.
Yeah.
Would Facebook still be interesting?
Well, no, because I would still be interacting with them on a personal level enough that I wouldn't need to see those things. You know, I wouldn't. Mm. That's it, right? That's what you say, is that those people that you actually care about, you don't interact with them on Facebook. You interact with them in real life. That's
it. If I had the balls to do it, which I don't, because like we were talking about, I don't want to delete people I went to high school with. I don't know why.
Yeah, well, yeah.
But if I had like the courage to do it, I would delete everybody except for 7 people and just do like a social experiment. Instead of getting off Facebook for the next 2 months, just like, oh, maybe I can unfollow like fucking 392 people.
Oh man, that's a lot of clicking though. You're gonna be on Facebook all summer, just clicking the amount of times that you need to unfollow everybody.
I know, it'd be so crazy, but it would be like, I don't know. I think you'd realize how fucking pointless Facebook is,
yeah,
if you only had 7 friends on the actual site.
Yeah,
it'd be like, I don't need to look at this because I just saw you yesterday.
Yeah, no, it's good for you know, promoting events. It's good for sharing jokes. It's like there's some things that it's okay for. You know, like I'll follow a few different groups that put, you know, hockey related funny images and shit like that, that kind of bullshit. But that's not something that's meaningful to me in my life. And that's not like an actual friendship. It's at that point, it's just like it's just like I'm going to some, you know, it's like I'm going to Reddit and just browsing pictures at that point.
Yeah. I think it's the bottom line is just how pointless it really is.
Yeah.
Like, it's just something to, I remember when I was a kid, okay, I used to like smoke cigarettes, and it'd be like, I'm standing at a bus stop. What do? I'll smoke cigarettes. This is what I used to do. And I remember when I quit smoking, I was standing at the bus stop like, I don't know what to do. I don't know what the fuck to do.
But now
you stand anywhere, and it's just like any individual kind of like say you're waiting in line at the bank.
Yeah.
Or say you're, I don't know, sitting at a restaurant waiting for a fucking coffee to show up. What's the first thing you do?
Yeah.
Social media, Facebook, doo-doo-doo, you know, and you look around. And I'm not some old fuddy-duddy kind of fucking like, fucking tech. I love technology. I do.
Yeah.
This podcast is brought to you by technology, which in turn is brought to you by more technology. So I enjoy technology. But it's amazing when you look around. I went to the beer store yesterday. And I went in and I got my case of beer and I was walking back. And there was these two, this couple, this guy and this girl, sitting in this SUV at the beer store. And they hadn't gotten out of the car yet. And when I pulled up, they were there. I just noticed the car. I didn't notice them. And when I looked at them, they were both sitting in individual seats, one at the driver's seat, one in the passenger seat. And they're both on their phones. And it was just like, what the fuck are you doing? It's like, what have we become? What have we become?
Yeah, we've sunk into this hole where this device in front of us is a, like, I mean, and I get it on a certain level too, because like you, I don't dislike technology, and when you look at your phone, this is it's a piece of technology that is a gateway to the entire wealth of information from the entire world, all condensed onto this little device that you can hold in your hand. And I can understand people wanting to explore that and to get sunk into this world that kind of doesn't actually exist. But why do that over talking to the person that's right beside you? That's what I don't get.
I agree with that, and I understand what you're saying. I understand your point for sure. It's like, but like what we were talking about before, where it's just like most of the shit you look at on like Facebook or Instagram and shit is it's just, it doesn't make any impact in your life at all.
Yeah.
Is it that actual need to know what people are doing, or is it just fucking balls out straight motherfucking addiction?
Like, it might be though. Yeah.
It's just like when you're standing at that bus stop having a cigarette. Yeah, it seems like the good thing to do, but I'm also addicted to this thing. Take out the cigarette, add the phone. I don't care what's happening. I just looked at it 5 minutes ago, but I'm going back.
But I'm going, yeah, right back to it, because you need to, because you feel so left out when you're not doing it.
Yeah, it's like, or people are going to think, like, look at this guy just standing here, like, yeah, smiling, enjoying the sunshine.
What's wrong with him? What's wrong with him?
Yeah, it's like this immediate, like, self-conscious, like, oh shit, I'm standing here by myself. I know, I'll go on my phone, make myself look so much interesting. Oh, oh, Dave from Timmins, he fucking had a sandwich today. It's just like,
it's the new equivalent of putting on your Walkman headphones and not actually listening. Your batteries are dead.
Yeah.
Just so nobody talks with you.
It's true. You're sitting there on your phone. Eh? It's like the old guy who doesn't even own a cell phone wants to come up and say, hello there, sonny. How are you? It's just like, bullshit.
Oh,
phone.
No.
I'm busy.
Yeah,
hold
on. Yeah, I got important banking to do. Sorry, sir.
I'm closing a huge deal here, old man. How dare you ask me how the weather is today? Anyway. All right, let's play another song.
Let's do it.
Do you want to do it?
Yeah, let's do it.
What we're going to do, we discussed it kind of off air. The new GOAT EP is in the works. The songs are recorded. There's one mix on them, but they still need to go back and get some editing done, a little bit more mixing done.
First draft.
Jordan is an amazing, amazing engineer. He's an amazing producer, but sometimes
he's a wizard.
You just can't polish a turd. But like I say, sonically it sounds amazing. So we're gonna play the best of the five that we recorded. Maybe not the best song, but the best sounding one. Until we go back up and tinker for the next 3 months and make Jordan age about 5 years. But this is a song, a little sneak peek. Now keep in mind, it is the first mix and it will sound a little different in the end, but we were kind of excited to just give you something. So this is a song called Motherfucker, or Motherfucker, but it's very Trailer Park Boys. Motherfucker, yeah. Motherfucker.
Love it.
And it is off the yet to be titled newest, sixth actual GOAT release.
Has it been that many?
Six.
Yep. Six.
Six releases in 7 years. That's pretty good. All right. This song's called Motherfucker, and it is off the new GOAT debacle. Hope you enjoy it. This is Ego and Vice.
So you said you're gonna hit the road. try and find a better place. Well, don't you go, motherfucker, don't go, motherfucker, don't go. Tired of carrying the same old load. Easier to walk away, well, don't you go, motherfucker, don't go, motherfucker, don't go.
So Frank Turner and the Menzingers, which I love the Menzingers. I've always been a fan of the Menzingers. I listen to Anxious and Angry, which is a podcast out of Chicago hosted by Ryan Young from Off With Their Heads. And he's friends with the Menzingers. And he just like takes cheap shots. He's always making fun of them and stuff. And Frank Turner has always been this kind of guy that I liked, you know. But, you know, like we said, it's like the first thing I heard from Frank Turner was, "It's a long way back from recovery."
Yeah.
Which is kind of like a poppy thing.
It is.
But if you listen to the lyrics of that song, they're fucking great, man. Like, Frank Turner might not be your cup of tea, if you will, but you can't take away his lyrics.
Yeah,
man.
As a lyricist, it's yeah, that's great. You listen to that. That's something I look for in a song, is it's got to have good lyrics. And I don't know, I've known people to say, "Oh, the lyrics don't matter. It's the tune that matters." And other people, they focus on the lyrics, and you know, others kind of take everything in. But yeah, when you look at qualities of certain people, that's that guy's lyrics, holy,
there's so
it's
many
magic.
Oh man, there's so many great lyricists, and I wish, and I try so hard in my own music to write, like, when you look at like Tim from Rise Against, who is an incredible,
oh yeah,
the motherfucker's a poet, man. The way he the way he puts words to paper and then puts them to like music, his melodies and his lyrics are incredible.
Yeah, yeah, listen to it and you think, oh man, I wish I could have done something like that sometimes. Why didn't I think of that? Yeah, because it's so simple, and that's the thing about writing good lyrics, is they need to be simple, but at the same time deep and complex. And you know, not to get pretentious about it, you know, talking about deep and everything. But
yeah, but I think it's just the way some people are, like wordsmiths, where it's just like the way they put something, the way they phrase something is just so
impactful that you,
it's just so clever, yeah, and it's just so perfect, you know what I mean, where you can be like, yes,
yeah, because you have to be succinct. You only have so many words you can fit into a few minutes worth of song time, if you even go that long, you know, with your songs. But like, you have to pack as much punch as you can in with every word, and when you can do that and make it, you know, clever from a cadence perspective and from a rhyming perspective and in all these other ways, and just kind of compact these complex ideas into a simple, effective lyric. Holy shit, that's cold.
I completely agree. And I just think if you do it properly, and some words, just the way they fit together. There's a song that I was listening to, and I'm going to see Frank Turner and the Menzingers at the Bronson Center in the fall. And a friend of mine went online and said, "Hey, the Menzingers are playing at Bronson Center." And I was like, "Cool." And she's like, "And Frank Turner's playing too." And I was like, "Oh, cool."
Yeah.
And then she proceeded to kind of go to the checkout, and she's like, "It's $86. And I'm like, "Okay, that's two people. That's not bad. It's like $40 each. That's cool, man. I'll pay $40 to see the Menzingers and Frank Turner." And when it all came down to the thing where it was just like to press for pay, it turned out it was $86 each.
Oh, shit.
$86 to go to the Bronson Center. I think shit. I went, the last show I went and saw at the Bronson Center was Face to Face, and it was like $32.
Yeah.
$86. But anyway, I started to just listened to some Frank Turner and us talking about lyrics. Frank Turner is another guy, whether you like the style of his music or not, his lyrics are fucking fantastic. Like, they're so good. And they're just layman, too. It's not like he's not talking about politics. He's not trying to spin your head around. It's just the way he puts, like, I don't want to call it emo, but very personal lyrics about heartbreak and life and how you're feeling and shit. The way he spins words and phrases and like sentences together is great. I was listening to the song. Yeah, it's called Plain Sailing Weather. People might know that song. I didn't know that song until like yesterday.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like one I remember
off
the top of my
head. And that record, it's off the record Tape Deck Heart, which was released like 8 years ago. It's the same one with Recovery on it. Right. And that song is probably like my favorite song in the world right now.
Yeah.
Plain Sailing Weather. I recommend. Go listen to that for sure.
Yeah, that's definitely a skill that I don't have, man. I'll sit there and, you know, play something and play a tune and have something that, you know, oh, okay, that's kind of catchy. And, you know, you try and write. But then when I get to the point where I'm trying to put words to something, I can't reduce it down to something that's simple. It always ends up being like very wordy and too much. It's too much. That's why I don't do it.
I do my best because I can hold my own on guitar when it comes to, I always said, like, I know one chord, but I know all the notes. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I can play you all the notes, but I only know one chord. And I realize my strengths and weaknesses when it comes to, like, writing music. And it's like, the music's always going to be kind of the same power chordy, chuggy, fast combination of notes, if you will.
Yeah.
But I've always tried to put thought-provoking or smart lyrics in, and I struggle every day to just try and write stuff that, when I listen to we were talking about Rise Against, Frank Turner, those guys, when they write those really great lyrics, I try really, really hard to do that, and it makes me wonder. And I've had people say, you like, your lyrics are really good, but I think they're shit. I think they don't add up, they don't match up to certain things. But I wonder if, like, when the guy from Rise Against and like Frank Turner and those guys, like, great lyrics. And there's so many others. We're just using those two guys right now because they're the first ones that pop into my brain and shit I've been listening to. I wonder if, like, someone like me who listens to that song from Frank Turner and says, those lyrics are so fucking good. I wonder if he's just like, they're shit. Fuck, those are terrible.
Yeah, I wonder kind of if that happens with everybody who does anything of the sort. Like, I don't know that I've ever met any, like, it's going to sound stupid, but I don't know if I've ever met any artist that's ever satisfied with anything that they do, point the end. Like, I think everybody who does that kind of thing will always look at it and say, I could have done better, and they do better next time, and that's how you grow. So, yeah, probably end up looking at that kind of thing and saying, oh, you know, that sucks. But, no. You know, when you look at it, you know, somebody who's a painter could come out with, you know, Bob Ross fucking quality painting and say, oh, that's terrible. And I'll look at it and say, yeah, okay, you think it's terrible, but there's no fucking way I could ever come up with anything like that. You know, I think that's the thing. You end up looking at something that you do, and when you're good at it, you always think you can do better.
Yeah, for sure. You know, you are your worst critic, I suppose. You know what else I've always wanted to do, even though I play in a punk band who knows all the notes but with one chord, is I've always wanted to do... I've been watching a lot of, like, listening to a lot of Queen, and I've been, okay, let's just... We were talking, when we were having a smoke there, we were talking about the Foo Fighters.
Yeah.
And did you ever see that video of the Foo Fighters playing Best of You at Wembley Stadium?
Yeah.
It's absolutely fucking emotionally moving. You know what I mean? Where he's just like, I gotta die. He's just basically screaming into a microphone. Like, there's nothing like super special about it, except it's fucking Dave Grohl, and we've been conditioned that Dave Grohl's fucking great. I got another confession to make. And the whole crowd does just that simple, whoa.
Yeah.
He, like, they stop and he's like, whoa. I can't even imagine what that would be like to have a crowd of people sing back your words.
That's gotta be quite the feeling.
I watch videos like that on YouTube of these live concerts and shit like that, and like Queen, where it's just like they'll do like "We Will Rock You," and they do like the whole
Yeah, yeah.
And all that shit. And it's just like, that must be the most emotional, gratifying, I've made it type of moment.
Yeah, when everybody knows the words to the song and are waiting for it so much that they can't help but just belt it out at the same time that you were gonna, and then you just let them. Sitting there in that moment has got to be, it's crazy.
It's incredible. And, you know, I'll probably never have that moment. Like, we've had goat shows where we'll tell people to go, oi, oi, oi.
Yeah, yeah.
Or you might see, like, that one guy that kind of knows our shit who's just kind of, like, singing under his breath in the corner and shit.
Yeah, we've had that one show there, too, where, you know, it was recently where, you know, this guy's pulled my mic over to the crowd side and started singing the...
That was the fucking Riptides.
I know.
Those guys.
Yeah. I know, but that was great, though. That's that kind of moment where you're like, you know, oh, fuck, they want to pull down the mic and sing, I just want to rock and roll. Yeah. Fucking right. Do it. That's great.
We were at, Riptides played a show at an Askapunk house in Ottawa, and the band that played before us was Warfare. Which we're very familiar with.
Yeah.
Mitch and Chris have been on the show, and Goat has played with Warfare fucking 3 or 4 times.
Love those guys.
Yeah, man. Great dudes. And they, and Riptides are very influenced by like the Ramones and the Queers and stuff like that. And Warfare played a cover of Pet Sematary. I don't want to be buried in a pet cemetery. It was fucking so good because they're such an intense, like, energetic band. And Andy, the lead singer of the Riptides, because he's a huge Ramones fan, just jumped up on stage and was singing like, I don't want to be. It was fucking rad. It was such a cool fucking, it was a cool moment. Yeah, for sure.
That's another thing that you probably never, you barely even get to experience probably if you are the Foo Fighters or whoever that's that big, eh? Is imagine going into a bar, and if you could go into a bar where nobody knows who you are and then have bands there covering your songs, eh? Imagine that too.
And obviously, because we're in Goat, fame and fortune is not our number one
priority.
It's
not on our horizon.
But because we do play music, we do still have our pipe dreams and our fantasies and shit like that. And yeah, like, I think every musician wants to be maybe not a gigantic fucking rock star. It'd be nice, but it's like, we do it because we love it, but... just the recognition of like, okay, yeah, we put in all that work and we've been doing this long enough and these people are like fucking super digging it.
Yeah.
And that would be cool, man. You know what I mean? Like,
that's why we love it when people come out to the shows and you know, they can't wait for us to go on. Like, that's an experience to me that just means so much that, you know, people like what we do, that they want to come out and have some beers and jump around while we're
I always think
talking about fucking their moms.
Yeah, right. I always think people are lying because I've had people come up to me on like Goat shows saying like, I fucking love your stuff, man. I've listened to all of it and stuff like that. And I like, you know, blah, blah, blah. And it was a great show tonight. And I'm always kind of like, yeah, whatever. You've never listened to fucking.
You're just jerking me off.
I don't know
right
why.
Now.
Maybe that's just me being me. You know what I mean? But maybe that guy actually enjoys our music. Yeah. I don't know. I'm convinced that everything I've ever done is absolute garbage.
it comes out to, do you want something from me?
And there's no fucking way you're sitting at home listening to our music on like Bandcamp or our website or something. There's no fucking way. And even if you stumble across it, you listen to half a song, shut it off, and said, these guys are fucking terrible. I don't know. Maybe that's just the way it is.
Yeah, maybe that's what everybody that gets big thinks to themselves is, I don't know how the fuck they listen to our shit, but hey, people seem to like it, so.
Well, that's, you know, we do it for ourselves, but if people do enjoy it, then hey, man, we're not going anywhere, because honestly, we're getting to the point where we really have nothing else to do, and I'm too fucking old and fat to start over, so I'm going to. I personally am going to ride Goat into the fucking ground.
Same.
Then I'm going to dig it up and keep fucking
beating that dead horse until
I really want to be, you know what I mean? Like, there's some bands in Ottawa like the Riptides, like Big Jesus Truck, like the Creeps, bands that just been together for a long, long time. And my goal with Goat, honestly, is to be one of those bands in, like, 2022 who have been together for, like, 15 fucking years. Still making music, still playing, just still doing it. I want to be, like, I want to have the longevity, but I also want people to know that I just never gave it up. Just still going, still going, still going. I want to be recognized as one of those bands. So I don't know where it's going to go, but you think of Ottawa and you think of the bands that have been around for a long, long time. I want to be one of those bands that has been around for a long, long time.
Yeah. Well, that's it. You know, when I go to any show that I go to, my goal is to make sure as many people in that place are having as good a time as they can possibly have. And if I get to do that for years and years and years to the point where people know that if they come out to a goat show, they're going to have a good time. Hey, that's all I could ask for.
We played with Big Jesus Truck. Speaking of Big Jesus Truck, at that, that Band Wars,
the thing, Band Wars thing,
a couple years back. And that was like their 20th year or something like that. They'd been together.
Yeah.
And it was just like the whole thing. It was just like, you're playing with Big Jesus Truck. Those guys are still around. And then, and it's like, okay, cool. They're still around. But then I had played with Big Jesus Truck like fucking 18 years ago at the Black Sheep Inn. And what was the best show of that night? It was fucking Big Jesus Truck.
Yeah.
It was such a great show. They were just really fucking entertaining and their music was good and their stage show was good. And you could tell they'd been doing it for a long time. And you could say, okay, I get why these guys are still fucking doing it, right? And that's my goat goal now. Is just
that's
to be
what it is for me. I'm there with you, man. I'm there with you, because that's something I'd like too. Is you end up getting into that point where you've done it so much that you can go out to a bar and have people say, oh yeah, okay, they know these guys are going to be a good time. That's what it is to me. Mm-hmm. People coming out to these shows, they come out to have a good time, and hey, you can give that to them. That's what matters.
Man, that's cool, man. It's just like we're 7 years in. 7 years in. Why stop now? So anyway, what'd you guys think of that fucking goat demo?
Oh yeah. leave a comment.
Yeah. Okay. So. That was a good run. We should play something else. We were talking about earlier. Did we talk? Yeah, we're talking about Voice of Addiction.
Yeah, yeah.
Did we talk? Was that on air or was that off air?
No, that was on air. We had a bit before talking about the show coming up.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
We're going to play a song from the local band Positive Charge, who is playing with us at that Host of Targ show on October 4th when Voice of Addiction comes rolling through town. Pretty excited about it.
Yeah, can't wait to see those guys live.
Let me just chalk something up here. I'll be right back. Yeah, so, okay, I found something. So we're going to play a song from the local band Positive Charge. I've played them on the show before, but fuck it, man. We got a show coming up in a couple months with Voice of Addiction, Goat, House of Targ. It's going to be awesome. This is Positive Charge off their release Undergrowth. This is a song called This City. This is Ego and Vice.
Somewhere along the rise of technology and productivity, we grew tired of waking with the sunrise. We traded self-sustainability for proximity, and what we are for what we have, abundance and greed. My mistakes are consequences. I've raised the stakes, and everybody's nervous or in dismay. As it gets dark, the lights stay on. The rat race clock ticks ever on. It's creatures and the city never sleep. Cause it dawns, passes off of the blood green. Nature's been driven out, yet we maintain sense of community. Though we compromise the world, we're learning from our mistakes. The time has come to make a change. And everybody's nervous or in disbelief. We need no savior, we need a change of pace. The city seems so dead at night, just a waste of time without you. Spending all my time beside you. This city seems so dead at night.
Okay, Polly. So that's it for episode 39. I got one more episode to do, and then I'm taking a couple months off just to kind of recharge the batteries. You know what I mean?
Yeah, get a fresh new perspective on the podcast. Maybe if you guys want to, on the off season, send me all the awkward questions about Ohio's penis size or sexual preferences or anything like that, and I'll make sure that next season when I'm on to ask him every single one of them. So just find me on the GOAT page, shoot me a message with some questions that'll make them uncomfortable.
You can also reach out to egoandvice@gmail.com, where I get most of your emails, and they've all been very, very nice and friendly. Penis size? Let me just say this, and I'm going to quote Mr. Dave Mustaine from Megadeth. It's not the size of your pencil. It's how you write your name.
Well, I think on that note...
And I've never had any complaints to my face. I've had a couple backhanded ones. But hey, man, what are you going to do? We're all human. It's fucking... It's size appropriate to my form. I'm not a very big guy. I'm only 5'8", goddammit. Okay, enough about my dick. So yeah, if you want Polly to ask some shit, he will be back for next season. Yeah. Starting probably in September. And, we're going to try to mix it up. I'll keep the same format as I did before. I'll still have guests on. I'll still have, local musicians. I'll still do the Ego and Vice Spotlight with some bands from out of town. But I need a break. I'm tired. I had a long year. It's been a crazy year. Yeah. A lot of crazy shit happened. But I was happy to have you here, bud.
I'm always happy to be here.
The most recurring guest on Ego and Vice since day one, and we kind of set that... in stone right from the beginning, and every time you come in, it's a break from the format, and it's great to talk to you, and I look forward to next season.
Yeah, me too. It's gonna be great.
All right, so let's do that. Let's call that a episode 39. I will be back next week with episode 40. It'll be kind of a wrap up, more of a season finale to set me on my merry way, I guess, and until I come back in September, send Paulie messages about my dick. Because apparently he wants to know about that. So, all right. So, cool, man. As for Paulie J. Fox.
Cheers.
All right. My name's Mike. This is Ego and Vice 39. And we'll see you next time.
You've got a real attitude problem, McFly. You're a slacker.